advice would you give to people who feel overwhelmed by the pressures of society and social media?
Get off social media. First and foremost, get off social media. Unless you're doing it for business, which again, I do, I use it for business. Social media can be a very, very negative, toxic place. You don't need to be on there. Welcome to the Prime Life Project podcast, a place to help you unlock your full potential, both mentally and physically, to become the best version of you. Welcome back to the episode of the Prana Project Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel James, and today I'm joined once again by Katie. Katie, how are we?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All right, thank you very much. So we've got another Q&A. So because we had so many questions when we put the little box up. So
we got loads. I've managed to filter them down, I think.
Amazing. So let's get straight to it.
Okay, this one is a bit of like a tongue, like I need to get it. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. How do you balance self-improvement with self-acceptance and self-compassion?
That's a great question.
So we've got self-improvement,
yeah,
self-acceptance, and self-compassion.
I think they all come hand in hand. So they're all part of the same thing. So you need to have the self-acceptance and self-compassion for self-development. Because for me, you've got to have the self-acceptance to accept exactly where you are right now. So when you're going on the journey, the first stage is acceptance. You have to accept where you are right now. Because the very first thing I talk about clients that work with me is the power of awareness. So you need to become aware of things. And once you become aware of things, you have to accept them. So acceptance comes first. And when you're accepting things, you then have to be compassionate with yourself. You have to be compassionate about the things that you've done, that you may not be proud of. And the biggest thing is taking responsibility. So when you're taking acceptance or accepting, like that then ties into, for me, taking responsibility. So you have to take responsibility for where your life is right now. Now, the stuff that's happened to you in your past may not have been your fault, but your life right now, moving forwards, is your responsibility. So you have to take responsibility for the part that you've played in your life being where it is right now, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yes, things may not have been your fault, but there's still things that you can do and there's things you can take responsibility for, and that then will lead to you improving. So for me, it's just it's a continual spectrum. And although you said to me them in one order, I think it's actually almost the opposite order. So you have to go for the acceptance. That's the first thing. And then the second one was, the last thing you said on that was self. So then you have compassion. So you have to be compassionate with yourself, not beat yourself up, not be horrible to yourself. Just realize that it's a journey. You didn't know what you didn't know. And then the third one is then the self-improvement. That's how I see that. It's like a continual cycle. And it's realizing that it's going to be very, very hard. And especially when you realize a lot of stuff about yourself that you may not have been proud of. That negative self-talk, becoming aware of that is a skill. So realize when you start to realize that some of the things you've done have led to your life being how it is, when you start to beat yourself up, belittle yourself, blame yourself, that's not serving you. And it's that kind of thinking and that kind of self-talk that probably got you there in the first place. So that's when the compassion comes in. The way that I say to people is, speak to yourself how you speak to your best friend. Because how horrible we are to ourselves, we would never ever dream of being that horrible to somebody else. And more importantly, we'd never let anyone else talk to us like that most of the time. So why do we then accept it from ourselves? So it's realizing that when you get into that headspace, start to be kind to yourself. Because you need to then start to build that relationship back with yourself. You need to rebuild that relationship. And it starts with just starting to be kind to yourself. And that's going to be really, really hard for some people. So just ask yourself, how would I speak to my best friend or the person I love the most important person in my life? Would I speak to them how I'm speaking to myself right now? No. And just apologize. So earlier on, when I said in the podcast, I kicked something and nearly fell over and nearly broke something. And the first, I went negative, I fumed at myself. And I said, I basically called myself an idiot. I then stopped, sat down on a little thing behind you and just went, that wasn't very kind. And then apologized to myself, took a deep breath and then cracked on. And that made that sound nuts to some people. But that was just me being like, it's not okay to talk to myself like that. So I took a second. I apologized to myself, like I would to a friend. And like I meant it. Like I wasn't just like, oh, sorry. Literally, I imagined I was talking to my friend. I'm really, really sorry. I shouldn't have spoken like that. It wasn't okay. Cool. Took a deep breath. Cracked on. That was just before we started this podcast as well. So that's a real life example of that. And then that then leads to the self-improvement.
And how do you know when you've, or do you ever know when you've truly accepted the part that you've played to get to where you are now?
Again, it's so situational because it depends on what it is. So again, this is potentially if you're not accepting it, this when therapy, counseling can come in, more therapy and psychotherapy, really, like psychologists, because that's real deep level stuff. Mm-hmm. Because some people really can't accept some stuff's happened. They really, really can't. And they can't accept any responsibility for anything ever. That's sort of deep level stuff. So this is the difference between my coaching and what other people can do. Like for me, this is like not surface level stuff, but most people know the answers. And if you give people the tools, they'll be able to figure it out for themselves. For me, when that isn't the case, that's them. When like PTSD, for example, that can be really, really hard. And some real like deep-rooted trauma stuff. Like, that is not my level of coaching, because that is deep-rooted stuff. So that's when you've got to go get specialists to help you unpick that stuff. But for most people, it's not that. So if you're still struggling to accept that, and there's still that resistance there, and you can't figure out why it's there, when again, because to figure out the thing where you're trying to accept, you have to have done some level of stuff, self-actual, like asking yourself some questions and trying to figure some stuff out. So if that then can't get you to a place of acceptance, and you've kept trying different things, then that's when it's time to, I think, get a professional to take you to another level. But for most of the time, when you go through the work, you will see the benefit of accepting. Because if you aren't accepting, you're resisting. And what you resist persists. So for me on that journey, if you are still struggling, the first question you ask is why? Why are you struggling to let go? Because a lot of the time we're holding on to something because it serves us. It sounds a bit counterintuitive, but some of the negative stuff we're holding on to, it actually serves us in some way, shape or form. It holds part of our identity. It gives us something to talk about. And it could also be some of the things that we're trying to hold on to came from our parents. So if we let that go, we feel like we're letting our parents down, or that person that told us that. So we hold on to it and we protect this lie, even at the detriment of ourselves. So my first thing to go to is, why can't I accept this? Why do I have to keep blaming myself? What is this? What is this allowing me to do? Is it allowing me to stay in victim mode? Is it allowing me to have something to moan at? Is it allowing you to, I don't know, not forgive someone? Whatever it is. Because sometimes you want to stay angry at people. But most of the time, those people we're staying angry at don't care about us. They're not giving us any time, energy, effort, or attention. And it's only us that suffers by holding on to anger. So when you're, again, taking that responsibility for yourself, and a bit of forgiveness may come in here as well, we're doing it for ourselves, not for the other person. Does that make sense? I'm having one of those days today where I'm just talking and I'm like, is what I'm actually saying make sense? Like the universe is just coming straight through me and I'm speaking, yeah, completely subconsciously talking there. So anyway, carry on. Next one. Just skip past that. Skip past down a little episode. Self-acceptance.
What advice would you give to people who feel overwhelmed by the pressures of society and social media?
Get off social media. First and foremost, get off social media. Unless you're doing it for business, which again, I do, I use it for business. Social media can be a very, very negative, toxic place. You don't need to be on there. And I think people are afraid of missing out of that FOMO, which is why they stay on social media. But I think now people are starting, especially the younger generation, are starting to realize how toxic social media can be. So they are starting to make a shift away from it. So my advice is, if you are struggling to feel overwhelmed, all that sort of stuff you mentioned there, just take just 7 days. Come off social media for 7 days. And if you can't, that then tells you that's where the problem lies. Because most of the time we're addicted to the feeling that social media gives us, even if it's a negative feeling, because it gets into a negative headspace and we'll see something positive and then we latch on to that little dopamine hit and then we go to that negative spiral again and then to positive. So we feel comfortable. So we've got that emotional home, emotional set point. So if emotionally our emotional home is negativity, anxiety, self-loathing, hatred, jealousy, whatever it is, and we go on social media and we get that met, it makes us feel at home. But that doesn't mean that's where we want to be. So my thing is becoming aware of the internal monologue you are having when you're on social media. Become aware of the thoughts that you're having. Become aware of how you're feeling. Do you feel anxious, stressed, nervous, jealous? If it's yes to any of these, come off. Or I recommend coming off. First of all, I recommend coming off, because then you get yourself to a neutrality again. And then when you go back on social media, you'll become very heightened to what it is you're feeling. And then as you're going through your feed, whether it's the stories at the top or going down the thing, feed, when you're noticing how you're feeling about certain people, pages and situations, unfollow and mute. Because most of the pages that you're following will probably be celebrities or be people that you really don't actually like and you're just keeping an eye on them. Why? Why are you doing that? Because it's making you feel rubbish. So unfollow, unfriend, mute them if they are your friend. If there's a friend of yours that keeps posting stuff that triggers you and you want to stay friends with them, just mute them. Meaning that their stories and their feeds, the things don't pop up on your feed. But for me, whenever I'm caught on social media now, I'm normally laughing or I'm learning. They've got some other things in there, but the majority, I'm either laughing, it's comedy stuff, or I'm learning. It's educational stuff. And you see me sometimes, I get caught down a rabbit hole, but I'm learning or laughing. I'm not just scrolling on mindless like models or people that I know. It's never that. It's always, I've found something, I'm going down a rabbit hole. And what's that rabbit hole? Stuff I'm really interested in. It helps me learn. Yeah. And that's the thing. When you start to pay attention to stuff like that, the algorithm shows you more. Yeah. So if you look at your page, it's full of negativity, toxic stuff that triggers you. That's because that's what you've programmed it to say that you like. Mm-hmm. So reprogram it by removing all that other stuff and start consciously and actively filling it with stuff that you're learning or laughing from. That's my advice on that. So again, you're overwhelmed because you're letting yourself become overwhelmed. So it's time to start taking back control. You take back control by removing a lot of this stuff that is causing you to be triggered. Especially if it's on social media, the pressure of social media, just remove yourself from it. Because the world existed before social media and it will exist without social media. And actually what you find is by removing yourself from social media, you start to live in the real world a bit more, you build real life connections.
Agreed. Mm. Next question. How do I give feedback to the person that I love?
By being honest. So depending on what the feedback is on. So do you have any more context to this question? Can you give me an angle to go at this from? It's a different
answer. It's not my question.
So again, give feedback to the person that you love.
I think for me, what would help the audience is, obviously, it's people generally find it easy to give positive feedback. They might not. But if you want to, I guess, bring something up or discuss something that's potentially been bothering you about the other person or something constructive, how would you go about it?
Well, for me, if you really do, and the other word is the person that you love, if you do really love this person, then you owe it to them to tell them the truth. Because for me, you are not serving the other person by not telling them the truth. Mm-hmm. So for me, loving someone is having the difficult conversations. And I guess it could be anyone. So against the person that you love, again, it could be like your parents. Mm-hmm. Now, parents are that's a very difficult thing. So I'm not going to go down the parent route because that's a different one to navigate. But again, your friend, if you love your friend or your partner, you owe it to them to tell them the truth. Because especially things are bothering you, triggering you, what's going to happen is if you don't say something, you're going to build up resentment. If you build up resentment, little things will build up. And it's like a game of buckaroo when you keep loading that horse up or that mule, whatever it is, it'll then buck. So you owe it to that person to just say what it is that you want to say, but you communicate clearly and effectively and direct. So what is it that you're actually trying to say? Don't beat around the bush. Because a lot of the time, I want to have a conversation with you and you'll chat for 20 minutes, you're terrible at this, 20 minutes about all these other things apart from the thing. So don't tell a story, just get to the point. Hey, like, I just want to have a chat with you about this thing. Cool, and then talk about the thing. Don't talk about backstory, the thing. And then communicate clearly. And again, communicate on their level. So again, if you know, again, might sound harsh for the person you love, but if they're very, very simple and they're like things really basic. Again, imagine you're talking to a child. Bake it down on the most simple thing possible, not on the wording that you use. So like, oh yeah, maybe feel really prickly. What the hell does that mean? Like, that word prickly means something to me, but doesn't help that person. So communicate as clearly as you possibly can so that they understand exactly what it is you're trying to say. So clearly, and just be honest and direct. Just say what it is and explain that you're saying this from a place of love, and then also say to the person what it is you'd like. Like, what is the reason why you're saying this? What's the resolution that you want from this? So you have done or said this, or I've noticed this. I'm feeling a certain way about it. Can we try doing this or that? And then have a conversation. And then be open that if you've said that something to that person, that if they're not good at receiving feedback, that it may take them a while. But there's a really good quote that I say, the truth may hurt, but it'll never harm you. So it may hurt to hear the truth, but it'll never harm you. And it's then that other person then, hopefully, and again, it all depends, because just because you love someone doesn't mean they're going to be in a space to hear this. So it's also, a push says at the start, it's awareness. But for me, if you're in a relationship with someone and you're friends with someone, you should be able to have these kind of conversations. And if you can't, that for me is a bit of a red flag. If you're in a relationship with someone, you can't have this kind of conversation without fear of being shouted at or worse. That for me is a red flag. You're probably not in the right relationship. That doesn't mean you don't love them. That doesn't mean you don't love them, because 100% you love them. But that means if you're afraid of having this kind of conversation, that for me is a red flag that needs addressing. Because you should be able to have this conversation with someone and then not explode and blow up. Long answer, short question.
And just to build on that, you touched on it on receiving feedback. How do you go about receiving feedback when people give you feedback?
So yeah, so, in that, so when you're, let's use in that situation, when you're giving feedback to someone, understand that they're then going to give you some feedback probably. So again, just accept it, listen to it. Just because someone says something to you doesn't mean it's the truth. And also, this is also the person giving the feedback in the first place, the person you love. Just because you have noticed something doesn't mean that you're right. It's your interpretation of this thing. Whatever has happened has made you feel a certain way. That doesn't mean that other person has to change. So understand that in a conversation, you're bringing something to the table. They're then also bringing something to the table, either an apology or a rebuttal. And then you kind of potentially might have to meet somewhere in the middle. But understand that you can't control someone. You can't make someone be the person that you want them to be. If that makes sense. So just understanding that. But then when it comes to receiving feedback, ask for clarity. So again, a lot of time when we're talking, if I'll say something, you don't get it. Or vice versa, I'll say, I don't understand what you mean. Okay, so I then, or you then, have not delivered it clearly in a way that the person understands. It's okay. We'll just go out to another angle. So if you're receiving feedback and what they're saying doesn't make sense, ask, just say, I don't quite understand what you're saying. Can you give me either an example or can you explain it in a different way for me so that you understand it? And then when you're receiving feedback, emotionally, you're going to feel a certain way, especially if it's negative feedback. You're going to feel emotionally charged. So rather than acting on those emotions, if someone says something to you that triggers you, just say, thank you very much. Can I just go away and think about what you just said? Like, I really appreciate you. First of all, if someone's giving you real honest feedback, appreciate the fact they care about you enough that they've had that difficult conversation with you, because it's never easy to have that conversation. So first and foremost, acknowledge that what they've done is hard. I really appreciate you taking the time to share this feedback with me. Like, it's made me feel a certain way. I'm just going to go and sit with this. And I'd like to, when my emotions are a little bit like, karma, I'd really like to carry on this conversation. It's like, okay, cool. So then you're not then acting out of emotion and then reacting to a situation, which again, potentially you're feeling a certain way. It then triggers you. You then go nuts with that person, and before you know it, you're in an argument. Someone says something to you. They've taken the time to come and talk to you about something, which is hard. They've said something to you. It's made you feel a certain way. Go and sit and think about it. Ask yourself, why has it triggered me? Why has it bothered me? Because that's the important thing here. Because sometimes the truth, like I said, hurts. So they've said something to you that you know about yourself and you don't like it because it hurts. Okay, cool. We'll go sit with that. Because that person is then giving you a gift. And they've also given you that really nice space to talk through that. It's a person who clearly cares enough about you that they brought that to the surface. So if you need to, go away, sit, think about it, and then come back again and then carry on the conversation. So don't feel just because someone's brought something to you that you have to finish off that conversation. If you need to, go and take some time. But with the feedback, even if someone says something to you and it's really, really nasty and horrible, let's say this isn't someone that you love, someone just says something to you, nasty and it's horrible, malicious, I always sit and think, is there any truth in what's been said there? Because if someone that you hate gives you feedback that's really negative, if you can take some positives from that negative, that person that you hate the most has then given you a massive gift, and that's going to piss them off even more. Now, sometimes there's not always going to be no truth in it. But if you can find some truth in it, like, oh yeah, actually, sometimes I can be quite annoying. Or I can speak too much and not listen. Okay, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to go work on that. And that person that's tried to give you this horrible negativity has actually given you some positivity that helps you improve your life. Yeah. Feedback. You're now thinking, God, you do any of that stuff with me? Okay, what did we say? I think we know that quite well. Yeah. Yeah, because, again, we haven't did a whole episode on this, but yeah.
Okay. What have you struggled with recently and how have you overcome it?
What have I struggled with recently? Procrastination. Procrastination. And it was just sitting with it. First of all, realizing it. So you, again, to my communication, you brought it to my attention. Difficult conversation of, actually, I've been procrastinating on some stuff. So again, difficult conversation. Like, yep, you're right. And then went and did something about it. So it's just sitting with whatever it is. And just working my way through it. So for this, the procrastination is, well, why am I procrastinating? And again, it comes back to that whole thing of, for me, not feeling good enough. And then it wasn't necessarily not feeling good enough. It's also, I didn't know what I needed to do next. I didn't know what to do next. I just didn't sit down and write down what I needed to do next. And it became procrastination. So that was the biggest thing for me, procrastination. So on a big project I've got coming up, I just procrastinated. Whereas actually, then I sat down, you then gave me a massive list of stuff. I was like, oh yeah, okay. And I started cracking off and working my way through it. So again, I knew all this stuff anyway. It wasn't anything I didn't know. But for me, sometimes I need an external person to just write the list out and be like, whatever.
There you go.
There it is. But it's also already new. It's also because again, I already found the list that I had in my iPad, which is very similar. Apart from you, obviously added new stuff to it, but it's already been there, and I already knew I had to do it. But then this goes back to everything I talk about: holding yourself accountable. This also goes back to what I say: is that I'm not perfect. So sometimes again, people, and I make it very clear in working class, I'm not perfect. I'm not the finished article. I'm still learning. The difference is I'm just a lot further along than most people, which is why I'm again trying to pass out this information to help people. But I still mess up. I still procrastinate. But by no means the finished article. I'm constantly learning. So yeah, that was a big thing for me, that procrastination.
Cool. Final question.
Go.
What one small thing can I do today to start improving my mindset?
Kind of goes into ties into some question we had on the last Q&A. But for me, to improve your mindset, is start to notice that little voice inside your head. Start to become aware of how you're talking to yourself on a daily basis. And if you're not sure, journal. Now, what I mean by journaling is just set a time on your phone, 15, 20 minutes, and brain dump. Because when you brain dump, what you're doing is getting everything out of your head on paper. And then what you start to do is, as you're writing it out there, you might start to notice some negative self-talk popping up. And then you're left with it on a piece of paper, what's actually gone on inside your head. And you start to sort of sift through it. So for me, the first thing is just figure out what's going on inside your head. Because most of the time, if you're not feeling good, because what was the actual question? What was the word that was used?
What one small thing can I do today to start improving my mindset?
Yes, the mindset. So to improve the mindset implies that potentially it's not great. So again, if it's good and trying to get it from good to great, this still applies, but I'm going to assume it's negative to just to place neutrality. It all starts with our thoughts. So our thoughts lead to our feelings lead to our actions, actions lead to results, results confirm what we thought about ourselves. And I guess someone then said to me the other day that, well, sometimes feelings lead to your thoughts. Yes, but the feelings come from your thoughts ultimately. So your default setting of emotions, so if you're feeling negative most of the time, people are like, oh yeah, but I'm not thinking that. No, but you've programmed yourself to feel that way. And you programmed yourself that way through your thoughts. And basically you thinking negative thoughts over time has led to your set point and your emotional home being negative. So yes, your feelings can lead to your thoughts because your thoughts lead to your feelings and your body feels a certain way and then that leads to feelings. So it becomes a cycle, but it all comes from your thoughts. So you, for me, the first thing is becoming aware of your thoughts. Become aware of your thoughts. And just the fact that you now know you can become aware of your thoughts, you've gained the awareness, you'll then start to listen to that voice inside your head. That voice inside your head is not you. It sounds like you, but it is not you. You are the observer. You are the one that is listening to the voice. You are not the voice. So realize when you're hearing that negative self-talk, you can change it. You can flip it. You can start to insert positive affirmations, positive self-talk. And that's what you do. You then start to reprogram one sentence at a time. The positive. So whenever anything negative pops up, replace it with the positive. Again, it sounds very, very simplistic. It is simple. It's simple, but it's not easy. Okay, just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. But that negative mindset was programmed either unconsciously as a child or as an adult. Someone says something to you once, or you've heard something once, and you've repeated it to yourself 1,000 times. So now we've got to do is flip that. We've got to become aware of what's that negativity I'm saying to myself. Okay, become aware of it. Start to question it. Ask where it came from. Would you choose to think this? If the answer is no, okay, what would I choose to think? And then you start to replace that positivity in there. That's where I'd go and work from there.
Great, thank you.
Awesome, nice, short and sweet. And if you took any value from today's episode, as always, don't forget to like and share with a friend. Until next time, take it easy.